Chapter 10, The Law of Life. The law of the New Covenant is a perfect contrast to the law of the Old Covenant. The first covenant law is called the law of sin and death. The law of the New Covenant is called the law of the Spirit of life. One law put men in bondage. The other law made them free from the law of sin and death. That was a fearful title that was given to the first law, of sin and of death. Both sin and death are of the adversary, and so the Old Covenant law was given to men who are governed by the adversary, who had a satanic nature and lived in Satan's realm. It was never given for new creation folks. No man that is born again has any part or lot in the Ten Commandments. They were all fulfilled in Christ and set aside. You see, he fulfilled the Abrahamic covenant first, and after that was fulfilled, everything connected with that covenant was set aside and finished and rolled up together in that first document. Then Jesus inaugurated a new covenant. The first covenant was sealed with the blood of bulls and goats. The second covenant was sealed with the blood of Jesus. The new creation that is under the new covenant had a new law given to them. Jesus gave it. John 13:34-35. A new covenant I give unto you, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The Pauline epistles are a revelation and an exposition of this new law, just as Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy are an exposition of the law of the first covenant. So these epistles of Paul are given us to explain the new covenant law, the love law. The 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians is a revelation of what this new love law is, what it does, and what it does not do. In Paul's other epistles, we see this new law being demonstrated in the daily life of the new creation. It is very important that we understand this fact, that the new covenant law is not designed for men outside of Christ. The natural man cannot obey the new commandment that Jesus gave. There is only one commandment to rule the new creation, and that is to love one another even as Jesus loved us. That new commandment made any other commandment absolutely unnecessary, for the man who walks in love will never do wrong. As love was the fulfillment of the old covenant, it is also the fulfillment of the new. Someone asks, why is the Mosaic law called the law of sin and of death? Because it was to govern spiritually dead men. The law of the Spirit of life is to govern recreated men. It is the Spirit of love. It is the law of the very heart of Christ. The law that governed the dead spirit is the law of Moses. It is impossible for anyone to live under the Mosaic law today, because it has been fulfilled and laid aside with the Abrahamic covenant. You see, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made the new creation Jew free from the law of sin and of death. Galatians 3:21, is the law then given which could make alive? Verily, righteousness would have been of the law. This is a striking sentence. If there had been a law given that could give men eternal life, then righteousness would have been of the law. But the Scripture shut up all things under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Now notice this next Scripture. But before faith came, we, the Jews, were kept in ward under the law, shut up unto the faith of which should afterwards be revealed, so that the law is become our, Jews, tutor until Christ, that we might be justified by faith. The old version reading, a tutor to bring us to Christ, is not correct. The law never brought anyone to Christ. The law was a law of sin and of death. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can bring a man to Christ. Notice the 25th verse, but now that faith is come, we are no longer, as Jews, under a tutor, for ye are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. I want you to notice carefully the next sentence. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. There can be neither Jew nor Greek. There can be neither bond nor free. There can be no male and female, for ye are one man in Christ Jesus. Now you can understand 1 Corinthians 9:19-20, where Paul said, speaking of his ministry as a soul winner, for though I was free from all men, I brought myself under bondage to all, that I might gain the more. To the Jews I became as a Jew. When he became a new creation, he had stopped being a Jew. To them that are under the law, as under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. This was written before the temple and the whole Jewish hierarchy had been destroyed by Titus. We must understand clearly that the moment a Gentile becomes a new creation, he stops being a Gentile. In 1 Corinthians 10:32, we have the three ethnical divisions of the human race. Give no occasion of stumbling, either to Jews or to Gentiles or to the Church of God. There are no Jews or Gentiles in the Church of God. We are all one man in Christ. The Gentile stopped being a Gentile, and the Jew stopped being a Jew the moment they became new creations. Here is something very important. The people who are trying to live under the Mosaic Covenant must learn this fact, that according to the scripture I gave you from Galatians 3:21, the law cannot give eternal life to man. The law cannot give righteousness to man. If the law could have done that, then Christ need not have died, because all man needed to do was to keep the Mosaic law, the Ten Commandments, and he would be alive and righteous. But because he was not alive nor righteous, he had to be covered with the blood of bulls and goats every year. That blood represented life, a type of the life of God that was to be given to the new creation. The Mosaic Covenant was given to a spiritually dead people. It was a law that was to govern natural man. Did you ever notice that the Father does not command the new creation in Christ to love him? Why? He has God's nature of love in him, and he can't help but love him. He is born of love. Not one of the laws of the Ten Commandments fit a child of God. There is but one law for the new creation, that we love one another, even as Jesus loved us. Moses' law was given by God to Israel through an angel, because God cannot speak to man in any other way. There is a suggestion in Exodus 33 that God spoke to Moses face to face, but that is the only time in all human history that God spoke to man. So we can see there is a vast difference between the law of life in Christ and the law of death in the first covenant. Romans 8:2 and 3-11 has another suggestion for us. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me, as a Jew, free from the law of sin and death. That scripture cannot apply to a Gentile, because no Gentile was ever under the law of sin and death. Then it shows you, in the third verse, the importance of the law, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, or through the senses of spiritually dead men, God sending his own Son in the likeness of men who walk in the senses has condemned sin in the senses, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us, the new creation, who walk not after the senses, but after the recreated spirit, literal translation. The Greek word sarx, as translated flesh, should be translated senses every time. It makes it clearer. Notice the fifth verse. For they that are after the senses mind the things of the senses. Why? Because the senses are the children of the physical body. They are the offspring of natural human life, seeing, hearing, tasting, smelling, and feeling. They convey all the knowledge to the brain that we have outside of Christ. So they that are after the senses are ruled by the senses, because they are accustomed to obeying them. They that are after the Spirit are accustomed to obeying the things of the Spirit. The word Spirit here means the Spirit of the recreated man. So let me read it like this. For they that are after the senses are going to do the things that the senses suggest, but they that are after the recreated Spirit are going to do the things of the recreated Spirit that has the nature and life of God in it. Now the next verse. For the mind of the senses is under the dominion of spiritual death, but the mind of the recreated Spirit is under the dominion of Zoe, the life of God that brings peace and rest and quietness, literal translation. The seventh verse is suggestive, because the mind of the senses is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be, whether it be the law of the Ten Commandments or the law of the New Covenant. For they that are living in the realm of the senses cannot please God. Now, notice this ninth verse, but ye are not governed by the senses, but by the Spirit, that is, your recreated spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God, that is, the Holy Spirit, dwelleth in you, but if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit. A better translation is, if any man has not a Christ-like spirit, that is, a recreated spirit, he is none of his. Many of our commentators have given us a wrong conception of that. They have said, if any man has not the Holy Spirit, he is not a Christian. But that is not true. A man can be a child of God, receive eternal life, and yet not have received the Holy Spirit. For you remember, Luke 11:13 says, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Only sons will ask for the Spirit. Acts 8:15 and 16. Under Philip's preaching, many had turned to the Lord in Samaria, and had been baptized. Then the disciples came down from Jerusalem that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen on none of them. Only they had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They had received eternal life. Then the disciples laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Paul came to Ephesus, Acts 19, 1-7, he said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" The implication is simple, that all believers do not have the Holy Spirit. If they did, they would be different kind of believers. For when a man receives the Holy Spirit, he has a teacher in him that can unfold the Word and build into him a godlike spirituality that will make him a blessing to those around him. Come back to Romans 8:10, "And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." Notice now that after Christ is in you, the senses have lost their dominion over you, because when you are made a new creation, the senses cease to be your master. Your spirit has received eternal life and has become the righteousness of God. Sin now can no longer govern your senses, but if the Spirit of Him that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, this is the Holy Spirit of whom he is speaking. He that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life, that word life is Zoe, the nature of God also to your mortal body, through his Spirit that dwelleth in you. He has given to that person's spirit eternal life and made him a new creation. Now the promise that Jesus made, "I came that ye might have life and have it abundantly," is being realized. The Holy Spirit has come into man's body and is pouring an abundance of life into his mortal body, bringing health and strength and vigor into it. Now notice this fact. The new law cannot rule spiritually dead men any more than the Ten Commandments can rule the spiritually alive man. The first law belonged to the old creation. The new law belongs to the new creation. This new law of love is to rule our daily life, our business, our homes. It is to rule the church. It is to rule our social life. This new law is as impossible for natural man as the Mosaic law is unnatural and abnormal for the new creation. The Jew under the first covenant could not keep the law of the new covenant. So we see clearly that the Ten Commandments are for natural man. Jesus' new commandment was for the new creation man. The love law is to rule a new love creation. It would be as absurd for citizens of the United States of America to adopt the laws of Japan and try to put themselves under them, as for Gentile men today to adopt the Ten Commandments and attempt to get God to own them as he owned the Jews under that first covenant. Here is a fact. The first covenant with its commandments was never given to any nation but the Israelites. Israel alone owned it all. For a Gentile today to call himself a Christian and attempt to live under the Abrahamic covenant and the Mosaic law is the most absurd effort ever known. Only a spiritually dead man would ever attempt it.